We're going to declare the end of the message from the very beginning. What this message is going to be all about is it's a matter of life or death. It's really a matter of life or death. See, God said this in his word. He says, in Isaiah 46 and 10, he says, I declare the end from the very beginning. He says, and from the ancient times that are not yet done, he says, my counsel, my will shall stand, and I will do all my good pleasures. And one of the things that we found that why so many times people have not been able to fulfill the will that God had for them, even though it was his will for them to prosper, to be in health, even as their soul prosper, is his will that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will that all people born again who make Jesus the Lord of their life. But you and I all have a choice in that decision. We can all allow ourselves to be drawn away unto some other belief, some other religion, some other ideology that will cause us to go totally contrary to what it is that God desired for us to do. I found that one of the first things that God told the children of Israel the moment they came out of Egypt was this: you shall have no other gods before me. Now, why would God have to tell the children of Israel? If you look at the Ten Commandments, the very first commandment that God gave the children of Israel is you shall have no other God before me, because he already knew that if you put anything else before him, it will have a tendency to lead you astray. And you know, why are we sharing this now? And why are we having this conversation now? God says, he says, because the time is drawing nigh, and he's raising up an army. He's raising up a body of believers who will be willing to be the forerunners, who will go forth and sound the alarm, not only to just the world, but even to sound the alarm to the church itself. He says this in Luke chapter 1, and this is just before when Jesus is coming on the scene. This is what he did. He sent the John the Baptist, and this is what was proclaimed, prophesied about John the Baptist. It says that in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, that he would go before Jesus in the spirit and power of Elijah. And what would he do? He would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. But listen to this part. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And what he was sharing is, in all this, he says, many people say that they're looking for the Lord to come. Many people says that they know that Jesus is on his way back. Many people say that they know that, you know, based off all the things that's going on right now, his return is imminent. But what the Spirit of the Lord said is, even though many people know that Jesus' return is imminent, many of the people who say that aren't prepared for him to come. So he's using us now to say, I need you to sound the alarm, to let them know that it's a matter of life and death, that they prepare to meet the Lord. And he says, the reason why I'm telling it, is because many people have allowed other things to take away their attention, to draw unto other gods, to draw themselves. They have idols in their life. He says they have put up things, images. He says they have put up pictures. He says they're bowing down to pictures and statues. He says they've made for themselves woodworks. He says they're worshiping, you know, heavenly bodies, and they're worshiping the moon and the sun and the stars. He says they're even bowing down to demons and to angels and of men and of animals. And he says these things ought not to be. He says, for there is no other God before me. There's no other. He says, I am the one who brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. I am the one who brought you out of bondage. In fact, that's what he said to the children of Israel. He says, I am the Lord your God. Exodus 20 and 1. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of bondage. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Isn't that the same thing that happens when we get born again? In accordance to Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he says this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they have become the sons of God. He says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, at one point in time, we had the spirit of bondage. We were under the dictates of the kingdom of darkness. We had a nature of sin on the inside of us. He says, but now that you're born again, now that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, he says, you no longer have a spirit of bondage. He says, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Why can you cry, Abba, Father? He says, because the spirit, the Holy Spirit identifies with our spirit to let you know you are not you are children of God. He says that if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And according to Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, that says this. Now, why is that important? Because he's telling the children of Israel, I have brought you out of Egypt. I have brought you out of the house of bondage. I have brought you out of all those old ways of thinking, all those old ways of doing, all those old ways of believing. He says, and I'm telling you from the very beginning, if you don't remember any other commandment, remember this one. You shall have no other gods before me. He's telling them. Why is he having to tell them this? Because when they was in Egypt, what was they doing? They was making all kind of images. They was making all kind of idols. Because they were slaves to the Egyptians. So the Egyptians were serving all kind of idols. And who do you think was making those idols? The children, the slaves who was serving them in Egypt. So what does God tell them? You shall not have any other gods before me. You should not make for yourself a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So is he saying that he's passing on iniquity to the third and fourth generation, to every single person when he's making this message? Absolutely not. What is he saying? He says, for those who hate me, the iniquity will continue to go, the iniquity of the fathers and the father's fathers and the father's 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 father and all that will continue to go. Why will it continue to go? Because they hate him. They lightly esteem him. And what else will they not be doing? They will not be keeping his commandment. Now, but for those who love him, he will show mercy to them. And what else will he do? He says, I will show mercy to them because they love me and they keep my commandments. So there's a distinction between those who love him and those who hate him. And he's telling them, he says, don't make any idols for yourself. He says, don't make any images. In other words, there should be nothing that you bow down to, nothing that you serve. You know, it's interesting because when you think about Matthew chapter 6, 24, when Jesus says to the disciples, he says, you can't serve two masters. He says you will either love the one and hate the other. He says you will either cling to the one or you will lightly esteem the other. He says you cannot serve God and the spirit of mammon. Now, most people will call mammon riches, but God says it's a spirit, and that spirit of mammon says this: I can get you everything that God offers just without doing it God's way. And that's what the world is offering. And that's what the adversary says. He says, which you got to understand, the adversary can't create anything new. All he can do is take what God has already made and he perverts it. You know, and perversion is not simply talking about sex. Perversion is talking about the fact that he takes something that was meant for good and twists it to turn it to something that is worse. The adversary has no creative abilities to do anything. So what is God saying? What is he saying? He says, don't create an idol or image that you bow down and worship like you would bow down and worship me. Do you see that? God is saying, don't trade me in for a cheap copycat. That wood can't do anything for you. That stone can't do anything for you. That moon that you bow down and worship can't do anything for you. The sun that you worship can't do anything for you. Why? Because you're worshiping the creation more than the creator. The moon was created by Almighty God. The sun was created by Almighty God. The trees were created by Almighty God. So why would you give more worship and more honor to the creation that has no ability to do anything in your life? The tree was not the one that brought you out of darkness. The moon was not the one that parted the Red Sea. And God is saying the same thing to us tonight. You know, it's interesting when you go back now, when you think about you should not serve any other god or you should not have any other idols before God. When you read the story of the rich young ruler, Jesus didn't say he had a problem with the fact that the ruler, rich young guy, had money. He never said that. What was the first thing he says? He says, you know the commandments. Now, the rich young ruler came and he was like, you know, his intention was, hey, I want eternal life. I want the God kind of life. I want the life like it was before man bowed his knee in Adam and Eve bowed their knee to the adversary in the garden. He says, I want that kind of life. Then Jesus says, you know the commandments. Love the father and mother and don't commit murder, all these things. What did the rich young ruler says? All these things have I kept from the very beginning. And Jesus turned to him and Jesus loved him. And he says, but this one thing you lack. He says, go your way. He says, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross. He says, sell all that you have and set up for yourself in heaven, you will be sent into your heavenly account. And he says, and take up your cross and follow after me. Now, when the rich young ruler heard that, his response told you exactly where his allegiance, his heart was. And what happened? He heard what Jesus said. Jesus gave him the very answer to the solution. He gave him the very solution to the problem to which he had. And what did the rich young ruler responded? He was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved. Why did he go away grieved when the very thing that he desired, the very thing he needed was right in front of him? All he had to do was obey what it is that Jesus said. And Jesus said to his disciples, he says, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? How hard is it for them to enter into the kingdom of God, or God's way of doing and thinking and being right? And then the disciples was puzzled, like, what are you talking about? Because he said, what are you talking about? He says, children, how hard is it for those who trust in their riches to enter into the kingdom of God, enter into God's way of doing things? Because in the kingdom of God, your trust, your dependency, your reliance, your assurance, your total confidence and surrender has to be to Almighty God and to him alone. What the rich young ruler was demonstrating was he could go through all the motions. He could keep all the laws. He can keep all the seemly commandments. But the greatest commandment that he did not keep was this: you should have no other God, nobody else, nothing else that you bow down and serve more than Almighty God. And when Jesus said, go and sell what you have, he says, I have to give up that one thing that I have trusted in. I have to give up that one thing I have relied on. I have to give up that one thing I have depended on. And Jesus says, how hard is it? And he's saying the same thing to you and I that he said was saying to the disciples that day. How hard is it for those? How hard will it be for you and I to enter into God's ways of doing things if we're continuing to bow down to anything and anyone else before him? You say, how do you know that that was an issue? Because when people don't serve God, when people haven't surrendered their life completely to God and identified any idol that is in their life, you know, did you know that your job can be an idol? Your spouse can be an idol? Your children can be an idol? Your money can be an idol? Your house can be an idol? What is an idol? Anything and everything that you put ahead of serving Almighty God. Anything that is an object of worship. He says, anything that we give more attention to. It's kind of like, you know, when they have the show American Idol. I always thought that was interesting that they had the name of the show was American Idol, because what's happening, people are given honor and people are given praise and accolades to this individual because of a gift that God gave to them to use for his benefit, for his good, and for his will. Do you know how many people who are singers, actors, and actresses today who God gave them the gift to be used for the kingdom of God, and they took that very gift that was given to them and took it to the world and says, hey, servant, doing that in the church is cool, but this way I can make more money, and this way I will have these other things. In this way, see, what is it saying? The spirit of mammon is saying, I have a way that's available to you that you can get all the things that you want. You just don't have to do it God's way. In other words, it says, I'm going to mimic what it is that God has, but you're going to have, you can get it without having to follow his commandments, his rules, and his regulations or principles. How do you know this is true? Because the word of God says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He's talking about when people get to, the more we get closer to the end, the more you're going to begin to see how people have raised up these idols, raised up these other gods, raised up these other things that they're giving more worship to, more attention to, more allegiance to, more so than Almighty God. And you know, the interesting thing about it is, he's not even talking just to the world. Here, he's talking about the church. And this is what he says to Paul is writing to Timothy. And this is what he says. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, perilous or troubling times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Did you see that part? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For this is the sort of those who creep into houses and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins. He says, led away by various lusts. Always, he says, these type of people are always learning, but never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Why is it they can't come into the knowledge of the truth? Because they're giving all their attention, all their allegiance, all their worship to other things other than God. They have a form of godliness. It didn't say they didn't love God at all. It just says these other things they love more than they loved Almighty God. He says that they, for people who give allegiance to other gods more so then they give allegiance to Almighty God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He says, these are some of the things that they would do. You said, well, how do you know that? Could you show me that in another place? I'll be glad to, because when you look at in the book of Judges, we're going to go to the book of Judges chapter 2, and this is what happened. This is talking about you shall have no other gods, you shall serve no other gods before Almighty God. And this is what he said. He says, when all the generations had been gathered to their fathers, in other words, the fathers have already passed away. He says, another generation rose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of God and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked them, and provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtoreth, and the anger of the Lord was against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers who despoiled them. And he said to them, he sold them into the hands of the enemies all around them, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord has said, and as the Lord has sworn to them. And they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot or prostitute with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked and obeyed the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judges and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judges. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groanings because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers, by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn ways. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, and so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. Why was that? Because the people made a decision that they were not going to serve God. They made a decision that they was going to bow down and serve other gods. And what was they doing? Violating the very commandment that the Lord had given them from the very beginning. What were they doing? Judges 21 and 25 says it this way. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And what were the people doing? Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And what was Paul saying to Timothy? He says, in the last days, what the people will begin to do is they will do what's right in their own eyes, because none of the things that we was reading out of 2 Timothy chapter 3 was glorifying God, but rather glorifying self, bowing down and serving other images and other gods and other idols. And this is the one thing that the Spirit of the Lord said, I have raised up men and women of God to go forth to do what? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready people prepared for the Lord. What's the whole point of this message today? Is to let you know that God is saying, if you have idols in your life, identify those idols. Did you know that doing works of ministry in some capacities could be idol worship? Why would you say that? Because your motive and intention for why you're doing it is wrong. Your motive and intention is not to draw attention to God. Your motive and intention is to draw attention to yourself. You have to lay that thing on the altar. Even when before we come on, man, God, we do this to honor you, to serve you. If you said to not do another podcast, we'd stop. If you said not to do another live stream, we wouldn't do it. If you said to do all these things, why? Because the most important thing is God. My most important relationship was Almighty God. Love my wife, love the kids, love all that. That's all great. But nothing should be more important in your life than Almighty God. Because all those things could pass away tomorrow. And if you don't have God in your life, you will be most miserable. That's the word of the Lord today. We shall serve no other gods, have no other gods before him. Now, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you fall in that category of those who don't even have a relationship with God, not even in covenant with God. Jesus has already made salvation available to you, but you have to receive it. You know, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But John 3:17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through his son might be saved, be healed, set free, delivered, and made whole. But it starts with a decision. It starts with a decision that, you know what? I'm making Jesus the Lord. Lord means supreme in authority, first place, owner, possessor. He has the final say. If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. In accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says this. It says, the word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to give you the opportunity to make Jesus the head of your life, to make the great exchange with him. He'll take your old life and give you a new one. He'll take your mess and give you a masterpiece. He'll take all those things away from you. Well, he'll receive all those things from you because you have to be willing to give it up. And then he will then make the great exchange with you. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Pray this prayer with me. Say it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me on the cross and you carried my sins for me. I believe you was put in a grave, but now you're risen. You're alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I repent of sin and I receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, I believe I'm born again from above. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. Welcome you to right relationship with God. Welcome you to right position. What do you do now? Well, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, teaches you about the kingdom of God. We know the Faith Life and Ignite Depot are such a place. So we love to have you join us each week here at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we love to have you be type of a word from the Lord, from the throne of God, that will ultimately change your lives forever. Now, we also have a podcast called Ignite to Life Podcast, and there you can hear this message and many other messages that we've done before. And also, we have a daily podcast called Fresh Steps for You, which is a devotional podcast. We'd love to have you follow us, subscribe, share it with a friend. If this message blessed you anywhere, in any way, share it with a friend. We'd love to have you to join us. Now, on behalf of Pastor Jew and the entire nation, we want to thank you for joining us today. And remember this, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.